Hey everybody, this is our second episode of our podcast. I'm James. With me is my co-host, Chad.
Yep, that's me.
We're doing our second episode here at Coffee Day James. It's a Saturday night, and lots of Highlife is involved, as always, which is our sponsor, right, Chad?
Yes.
Our podcast. Unofficial sponsor.
Yeah, unofficial, as in no money.
Yeah. How awesome would it be if we really were sponsored by Highlife?
Well, I suppose we have to be a good podcast first.
That is true, so it looks like we're buying our own Highlife. So we're sitting down and talking about things we could talk about, I guess. So we started talking about horror movies, and then we started talking about movies in the past decade or so,
yeah,
or
past 10 years.
Past 10 years.
An old issue of Rubeorg we were looking at.
No, Whorehound, actually.
Oh, Whorehound, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And they listed the past... The top 20 movies, horror movies of the past decade.
Yeah, past 10 years.
Yeah.
Of course, this is in 2009, so past 12 years, I suppose.
Yeah, we're 2 years off. But they still got a lot of quality choices in there and some choices that I don't agree with, as always, and Chad doesn't agree with.
So should we just run down the top 20, talk a little bit?
Okay, so I'm talking about... I got smoker's cough. How about Chad, you go ahead and list the top 20. We'll start at number 20, and then Chad will go all the way up to number 1, and then we'll discuss the ones that we like and dislike. All
right, we got number 20, Slither.
I think Slither should have been higher than 20.
Higher? It's kind of a niche movie. Not a whole lot of people saw it.
It's a pretty good movie.
I liked it. It was a throwback, kind of a Night of the Creeps type movie. 19 is Ju-on.
Also, about the school with that kid.
Also known in America as The Grudge. I did not see the Japanese version. But The Grudge, I didn't think much about.
Yeah, but there was a period of time where J-horror was a big thing.
Yeah, it kind of...
Ju-on, The Grudge, The Ring.
The success of The Ring. It kind of went from there. And it hasn't been that good. But so I can't say much about the Japanese version of that. I got to say that I did not like the Japanese version of The Ring. I like the American version better.
Let's see. I guess it's just on the Japanese J-horror thing. Takashi Mike is still doing excellent work. I still like him.
There you go. All right. Number 18, 28 Days Later.
I like that movie.
I like it too. It's not a whole lot to say.
That's
been a while since I've seen it, though. Watch it. 17, Saw.
Okay, for the record, we'll have a whole other podcast about Saw. Just for the record, I like James Wan, and I forget the other guy that did Saw with him, but I like Saw as a standalone.
Hold on.
No. We gotta save this for another podcast. I liked Saw as a standalone movie. Chad liked the series, and we've gone back and forth, and we defended it, had our high and low points, but
well,
I like Saw's movie, and Chad, what
we're just talking about the movie, not the franchise right now.
Right.
Because we could go on that for hours. At 17, Saw should have been much higher.
I totally agree. I totally agree. Should have.
It's kind of a game changer.
And James Wan is doing big things for horror nowadays. I really like him as a director, and I think he's pushing it in the right way.
Yeah, but Saw definitely, I think, should have been higher. The ending of that movie blew my mind. Definitely a game changer for the genre. Kind of piqued interest. Did for horror in the 2000s what Scream, I think, did in the 90s.
It's true. I very much agree with that.
Okay, so...
But Scream is a better series.
Franchise?
Franchise.
Oh, you're crack anyway. 16, Cabin Fever.
Cabin Fever. I am a fan of Eli Roth. Let me put that on the table. I'm a big fan of Eli Roth.
I'm a fan of Eli Roth, but I need more from him.
It's fucking smoker's cough.
Eli Roth talks a big talk, but hasn't quite walked all that he can walk.
He can do a lot more, but the thing is with Eli Roth, he's a huge fan of slasher films. Like, the whole slew through the 80s, that's like his homage, I guess. And Cabin Fever, you know, he had the screwdriver kill that was reminiscent of Dawn of the Dead. He had the soundtrack to Last House on the Left. He had the cabin that was reminiscent of The Evil Dead. He stated many times that his favorite films have been slasher films of the 80s, you know. But he liked the ones that were, I guess, more of like holidays, you know. Like, I'm so drunk right now.
We're still thinking, we're still waiting on Thanksgiving.
Here you go, Thanksgiving. But, you know, like Black Christmas, was it New Year's Evil?
Yeah, New Year's Evil. There's all kinds of those, man.
Yeah, April Fool's Day.
We can have a whole Christmas edition.
There you go.
Christmas horror movies. But Cat Fever was good. It was a fun movie. You got to be able to kind of just sit down and turn your brain off and have fun with it.
But I like the sequel, too.
Sequel went bad.
But it wasn't by Eli Roth. It was by Ty West, who did
The Devil. I had heard also that Ty West took his name off of it because they wouldn't release his cut of the movie.
That's true.
I could probably do a little bit more research on that, but that's what I had heard. But yeah, the sequel is a little bit cheesier, but fun. All right, number 15, The Mist.
Yeah. That's all I gotta say about The Mist.
I loved it. I think it should probably be a little bit higher.
The hard ending is what sold me on that movie.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun, creepy movie. A monster movie, I guess you could say. The ending sold it for me.
It was awesome.
It just blew my
mind. I love how people hate that ending, but that's so much, it made it for me. That made it for me. Definitely. If you haven't seen it, I would definitely say watch that movie.
I mean, I enjoy a good movie. You come out going, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It kind of depressed a little bit.
When you come out of a theater and nobody says anything and they're really fucking quiet.
Which brings us to number 14, Inside.
What a great segue to number 14.
Yeah. Another movie.
We talked about Inside on the first podcast at Horror Hound.
Because that's where we saw it at the Horror Hound convention. Inside. You can't really talk about it without giving anything away to people that haven't seen it. The movie, I don't know. I don't like to overhype it, but I thought the movie was amazing. I think that if it had much more, because it was directed video here, right?
Yeah.
So
it didn't get a theatrical release.
It didn't get the marketing that it deserved. The movie's amazing. It starts off as like a crazy
stalker. If I had to name three movies that somebody has to sit down and actually watch that fucked me up, Inside would be one of them.
Oh, man. I mean, I can watch that movie over and over again and never get tired of it. So I highly, highly recommend Inside. Don't rent it from Blockbuster because they cut out.
Buy the unrated version. Get it off Amazon.
Yeah. And definitely watch the... Don't listen to the dubbed version of it. Watch the French version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a
French Inside. Film. Fucking watch it.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't believe that's fucking 14.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That just shows how much Warhol fucking knows about shit.
That's true. Most listed wouldn't even be on there. But for me, it would definitely be much higher. It's probably at least in my top five in
the last
10 years. And number 13, House of 1,000 Corpses.
It's a really good movie.
It got a lot of hype before it came out.
But you know what? It's one of those movies that the more I rewatch it, the more I like it.
Yeah, it's...
That whole psychedelic feel with it. It really gets to me. I like it.
I have a hard time comparing it to another movie.
You can't compare it to another movie.
It's a
Rob Zombie film.
It's a Texas Chainsaw type of movie, but more of a Texas Chainsaw 2.
Yeah. It has comedy elements to it, but it's definitely a Rob Zombie movie. Like, there's certain directors that you put in there, like, I'd say Eli Roth. You know Eli Roth movies. You know James Wan movies. And then you know Rob Zombie movies. And House of 1,000 Corpses, well, that is his staple movie.
Definitely a movie I need to go back and watch a few more times.
But it is awesome.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that House of 1,000 Corpses hasn't picked up like a cult status. I'm surprised
we'll give it time. I think some of the stuff that Rob's done lately has kind of knocked him down a few
steps. Yeah, but it's not really evolving. He's doing the same
kind of Halloween kind of hurt him.
Ugh.
But he's doing something. Isn't he doing a remake of Salem's Lot soon? Something like that.
They're making Salem's Lot, but he has a new movie coming out called Lords of Salem.
That's what
about witches.
Yeah. So, House of 1,000 Corpses, it's good.
Number 13, Unlucky 13.
All right, number 12, May. Lucky McKee's May.
I like May. I thought it was awesome. I thought May should probably be in the top five.
See, I'd have to disagree with that. I mean, I enjoyed the movie. It was a little creepy. It was kind of weird. It's been a while since I watched it. I don't know. I just don't think it would be in my top 20, definitely.
The thing with Lucky McGee as a director, he's very dark, and he's very... Oh, I'm at a loss for words. It's not to the point. He's very...
Blunt?
Cerebral, I guess?
Yeah, I can see what you're saying.
But it's a very dark... He has very, very dark films that all hit at a certain point, whether it's like growing up... being a teenager or just like, I don't know, life in general, how you see certain things. And May definitely hits on a lot of those topics.
I can see where you come from and why you like it so much. I just have a hard time putting it above some of these other movies.
That's true. But everybody has their top 20 for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're going to ask me whether I watched May or Inside.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I mean, Inside's going to be way above.
Yeah.
You know, so. 11, Jeepers Creepers. Another movie we had a conversation earlier about.
I enjoyed Jeepers Creepers for what it was. I thought it was a really good movie.
I had a big problem with it.
I have a big problem with a lot of things.
Well, you know, the first half hour of the movie is just them riding in the car, and I understand
that it's
that you're setting up, you know, you're setting it up, and you're kind of, you know, pulling in interest, but it just went a little too long for me. The Creeper, I mean, don't get me wrong, the Creeper had the potential to be a great new slasher killer monster.
Still does. They have a third one coming out soon.
I see. I haven't heard that, but I don't know. I just felt unsatisfied at the end of the movie. I was like, okay, what the hell was he, and what the hell is going on? He came out every 23rd spring for 23 days to feed. Okay, but what the hell? And what
but that
for?
Works on a certain level because you don't have to tell everybody everything. Well, this is another discussion that Chad and I have had where Chad thinks you do need to have a certain background to certain people, which I agree with. But when you don't tell people stuff and you just show them it, they're like, what the fuck's going on? Who is this?
Yeah, but there's got to be somewhat of a background. Like, I understand. I hate when movies pander to the audience and feel like they have to explain every little detail to you like you're stupid. But you look at some of the greatest slashers in the past, like Freddy, Jason, Mike Myers. They all had a background as to why they're doing this. Now, if there was just some reason as to why he comes out for 23 days every 23rd spring...
But they didn't explain, say, for Freddy, Jason, and Myers. Sure, they explained some stuff in the first movie, but throughout the series, they explained more and more
That's true.
They didn't give me the whole thing in the first movie.
But they're also not popping out Jeepers Creepers movies like they were in the 80s with slasher films.
That's true. Maybe they should.
I don't know. Maybe...
I think the 80s was the greatest decade in horror for a certain reason.
Well, also, it also could be, some people might say it's worse because the genre got so diluted with crappy slashers.
It was the best decade.
But there were, yeah, I mean, I agree, but I can see why some people get tired of the slasher genre because it did get kind of diluted with random crap.
Typical boy meets girl.
So,
Jeepers Boy Creepers. Kills girl. Boy wears a mask.
I wouldn't put Jeepers Creepers on my top 20, but that's just me. I can see why people like it, though. Number 10, Let the Right One In.
Let the Right One In.
Wonderful movie.
Blew me away.
Loved the movie.
Karen and I saw it at... Karen, where did we see it at? Karen's eating pizza. Keystone. We saw the Keystone Art Cinema. And it was like me, Karen, and like two other people there. And we read about it through Room Morgue, of course, and we're like, oh, it's playing here. We gotta see it. And it kicked our asses. It is a totally different spin on the vampire genre, and it's amazing. It kind of feels like John Carpenter's The Thing, how it's really dark and bleak.
Yeah, but there's a lot more action in that.
There is, but that whole atmosphere, it really gets...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let the Right One In is a very... It's kind of it's a thinking man's vampire movie.
It is, but it's very...
It's I don't know, I'm at a loss for words. It's very slow paced.
It's through a kid's eyes.
Yeah, and
it's not so much adult as it is.
It's almost like somewhat of a love story.
It is.
It really pulls you in with the story, though. I mean, my big thing in movies is character development, and you really kind of learn to, like, you know, feel for this kid. And,
but there's certain movies where I feel like the background or where the movie takes place as a character all to itself. I think the Let the Right One In.
Definitely.
The whole Swedish feel, the snow, the dark, that's a whole character to itself, just the same way as the Descent, the whole background is a character
now,
to
have
itself.
You seen the remake, Let Me In?
No, I haven't.
I have.
Good?
It's alright, but America, for some reason, feels like they have to CG things and ruin a movie. There's scenes that it's almost a shot-for-shot remake.
I want practical effects. I want squids.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I want.
It's almost pretty much a shot-for-shot remake. There's a few things added in, but...
So is it kind of like Quarantine? That was a pretty much a shot-for-shot remake of Wreck.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But, But yeah, there's just scenes in it, like the CG scenes a couple times, that really took me out of it. I was like, okay, that's kind of shitty.
Yeah.
But so, but yeah, let's write one in. I it's probably good where it's at number 10. Maybe a few spots higher, but...
10, I mean, it's top 10.
Yeah, I mean...
Top 10 of the past time.
Looking at some of these 10, other movies. 20 years. Yeah, it's probably good where I'd have to agree where it's at.
It's a very good movie, and the novel's really good also.
Which I have not
read. Karen, you read the novel. It's like 500 pages, wasn't it? But I think she said it was very more in-depth. Like I said, I've been drinking High Life, I'm kind of drunk. Which is kind of like the theme, I guess, of this podcast. Drinking beer, talking about horror movies. But
which is yet to be named.
Yeah. The novel was very much more in-depth. And the guy who took care of...
And more descriptive.
Very more descriptive. I guess there's a lot of more bad stuff.
Kind of what books do, though.
Yeah. Books have words that describe. They're very more in detail.
Yeah.
They're a little more sick.
Okay, moving on. Number 9. High Tension.
High Tension.
Another, probably the first of the French films that really...
That's the first big French film that I saw. Yeah. But I actually saw it when it was in theaters here, and it was called Switchblade Romance, and it came out on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. I saw it at the Greenfield Theater.
I didn't see it until much later, until it came on DVD. But yeah, I mean...
That's a very kick-ass movie.
I mean, there's not a whole lot to say. It's just an awesome slasher.
If you have to start with French films in general, being like, I say French films brought back violence, I would definitely say start with High Tension. It does start off slow, but then it really kicks in, and when it kicks in, that totally gives you the theme for, I would say, Inside, Martyrs, Frontier, those type of movies.
Yeah, which Martyrs and Frontier are two other French films that are not on this list. I don't know if they would make it into the...
Did they come out later? They came out later.
Maybe. I think
they came out past this.
It's close, yeah. But... also two French films that were pretty
kicked
amazing.
Our ass.
Oh yeah, amazing.
But High Tension is very amazing. I haven't seen the Blu-ray yet, but I do want to pick up the Blu-ray of High Tension.
But okay. Number 8, Wreck.
There's a lot of things I can say about Wreck. Wreck is very awesome. Wreck spawned the American remake, which was Quarantine.
Which I have not seen Wreck, but I've seen Quarantine. I have not seen Wreck. What are you whispering? No, I have not seen Wreck.
I've
had an opportunity to. I have a wife that doesn't like horror movies and prefers other movies ahead of that on my
kids. I guess I'm very lucky that I have a wife that loves horror movies, and that's
so
pretty much all
Wreck,
we watch.
But I can talk about Quarantine, and like as if you said, it's a Chef Shaw remake. I loved Quarantine.
It's awesome.
I love that Jennifer Carpenter is one of my favorite actresses.
Jennifer Carpenter needs to be a scream queen.
Oh, she can be in so many horror movies.
Does.
I mean, she's been amazing in Emily Rose, Exorcism of Emily Rose, as Deborah Morgan in Dexter, which is an amazing show. And yeah, Quarantine, I thought.
It definitely brought back the whole first person type of Blair Witch esque, I guess.
A little bit different. There's a bunch of those out now, so I don't know what would.
But Quarantine did it right.
Yeah, they did a good job of it, and I thought she deserved an Oscar in that movie. If you didn't even like it, she was amazing in that movie.
And the guy, Rob Hall, who did special effects for Wreck, also is the writer and director of Laid to Rest. He runs his studio, Almost Human, which is based off of a Kiss song. So that's the more you know right there. But definitely check out Wreck. And if you liked Wreck, Wreck 2 is better than Wreck 1. Wreck 2 is... How do I compare this? Wreck 2 is... Let me go back. Okay. Wreck is Alien, and Wreck 2 is Aliens.
Huh.
So there you go.
I didn't even know you've seen Wreck 2.
It's amazing.
I'll have to check that out.
But then the Wreck being Wreck 3, which is Wreck Genesis, and then Wreck 4, which has to be named. But they're making two more movies.
Huh.
But it's awesome.
All right. Number 6, Trick or Treat. What to say about this movie?
It's great.
That's great.
I loved it. I like how it brought back the whole like trilogy type movies, mm-hmm.
like the Creepshow type thing.
Creepshow, the House of Dread Blood, Black Sabbath.
They all tied together.
I like how Halloween now has its own movie. Like aside from Halloween being Michael Myers, now the holiday has
its own genre. yeah, this. It's just a lot of fun. Nothing to be taken too serious.
It's a great movie to watch in October.
Several, I can't even remember, three, four, five different stories kind of intertwined.
Yeah. But I like how they made Sam kind of like the creeper, I guess, in Creepshow, who told all the stories, tied them all together.
Yeah, yeah. It's also visually, it's stunning.
Anna Paquin stars in that movie, and she's also in True Blood.
Yeah, I don't watch True Blood.
It's a good movie. Good show.
But yeah, visually, the colors and everything, it's somewhat like Suspiria in the way the colors and the cinematography just draws you into that movie. And Trick or Treat, it's, the atmosphere is one of a great, great Halloween movie.
If only there was an actual town that celebrated Trick or Treat like what they did in the movie, I would totally move there. Because when you go down the street, everybody had pumpkins out, like tons of pumpkins. It was all like... Totally hands down the best.
Much more celebrated than it is today. Definitely a movie that I would watch like
every year. I would say get on Blu-ray.
Every year on Halloween, watch this movie. Definitely. Number seven, or wait, did I skip? I skipped number seven. I went straight from 8 to 6.
Oh, yeah, so 8 was Wreck. 6 is Trick or Treat, so we skipped 7.
Number 7 is The Devil's Rejects.
Actually, you know what? If I had talked about sequels that were better than the original, I would say Devil's Rejects was better than
House of Thousand Corpses. I just have a hard time putting that as a horror movie.
Devil's Rejects?
Yeah.
Who do you see it as, like a grindhouse type?
It reminded me a lot of
action slaughter type.
Kind of like Natural Born Killers. Is Tarantino-ish in that way?
I wouldn't say that.
I mean, not like dialogue or any heavier.
Like, it was... House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects were definitely day and night films, where House of a Thousand Corpses was definitely like psychedelic acid trip horror, and Devil's Rejects was like gritty southern fuck every other
thing. I mean, it was a great movie, don't get me wrong, but I'd have a hard time putting it on this list. Just because I didn't look at it.
Let alone being at number 7.
Just didn't look at it as a horror movie, but it is a very good movie.
But it just goes to show we were talking about directors, where certain directors evolve. Rob Zombie does not. He does a certain thing very well, which is that southern grit dialogue, which is cancerous, ridden with fuck and shit and cunt and all these other like despicable terms, which he uses all the time, which is that it works for him and that's great, but it just shows like, I guess he sort of evolved, where he used more profanity and he was more like, he just tries to outdo himself by being so vulgar and slain all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't see Devil's Rejects being number 7. I agree with
that. I just have a hard time putting it as a horror movie. I mean, it was just a cool killer movie, but like I said, it was kind of like a Natural Born Killers, kind of like a homicidal jobs. But I liked it nonetheless, and that was number 7. Number 6 was Trick or Treat. Number 5, Dawn of the Dead, and I'm assuming they're talking about the remake.
I hope so. Dawn of the Dead, actually, for being a remake, if it was titled something else, I would have liked it a lot more. I actually did. I am a huge Romero fan. I like Dawn of the Dead, but honestly, it had the best 10-minute opening scene of any movie
I've seen. I'd have to say it's one of the best remakes of all time, if not the best.
The Thing.
Well, okay, second best. Yeah. I'd have to agree with The Thing. It was one of my favorites. But
it's an awesome movie. Remakes sucks you in really fast.
Remakes have been so overdone, and...
This but you know the sad thing is, right. It's going to keep happening.
Oh, I know, because they keep making
There's
money.
There's not an original thought out there anymore.
Yeah.
Dawn of the Dead was awesome.
It was amazing. I thought
it pulls you into the first 10 minutes, and it keeps you there.
I definitely thought it was
I think Vig Rames was like the key core.
Vig Rames, yeah. Yeah, it is one of the best remakes of all time.
And I was actually scared of Fast Zombies, which I was like, Fast Zombies? How the fuck does this work?
Yeah, I could see it pissing off, but they did it right.
They actually built that whole section of the mall, like, from scratch.
Okay. Good movie.
Yeah.
Where are we at? Number 4, Grindhouse. Well, so you're kind of a twofer here.
I wouldn't say Grindhouse is number 4. I would say it's influential that they brought back an interest in Grindhouse and those types of movies.
I agree. I don't think it has a place on this list, but, well, Death Proof, definitely not a horror movie.
No.
Great. Homage to like 70s car chase scenes, like Vanishing Point, and
Vanishing Point, Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry,
Silver Bullet, or Silver Bullet, the Bullet,
Silver Bullet, bring back that werewolf.
But yeah, I mean, Death Proof was a cool movie. If you like
Yeah, but I like how they brought back the trailers too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You sat in the you pooped in it. You pooped in the theater. No, but you sat in the theater for 4 hours and you watched two really cool films.
Which a lot of people is why it did so bad, because a lot of people didn't want to sit in the theater for that long.
Yeah.
And later on, they ended up breaking it up. I think they put at least them as two separate movies in Europe or whatever.
But the good thing is that Karen and I sat at the Keystone Arts Cinema up here, where you can buy booze and food. So we've had two buckets of beer. We just sat there and just enjoyed everything. But I like how they had three trailers between all of them that kind of separated. So you watch one movie. There was one trailer, and then a movie. And was it two trailers? And then it was Death Proof, because it started off with Planet Terror.
I feel like it was like three or four trailers. I can't remember exactly.
It was Don't, which was Simon Pegg and...
Edgar Wright.
Yeah, Edgar Wright did that, Don't. And then there was...
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving with Eli Roth, and then there was Werewolf Women of the SS with Rob Zombie. And actually, in the Blu-ray that you let me borrow, they showed the extended trailers of each one of them. And in Werewolf Women of the SS, Rob Zombie went out and he got some German composer to actually do a unique score for that trailer, which I thought was cool. But that's a lot of fucking money in a trailer.
But, I mean, you're talking about it now, so it worked. Yeah, I gotta throw out Death Proof as a horror movie, although it was a great movie.
I stand beside Kurt Russell in whatever he does.
That's true. Planet Terror, loved. Thought it was...
I like Planet Terror, Death Proof was my favorite movie out of the two.
I kind of liked them equally. I had more fun with Planet Terror just because of all the, you know, disgustingness and the killing
But if you go to Death Proof, it was more dialogue-driven by Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, it has Tarantino all over it, but you gotta love Robert Rodriguez. We forgot about Machete.
Oh, yeah!
That was another trailer.
Which that movie sucked.
Oh, you didn't like that movie?
I didn't like that movie.
I liked it. I mean, it was what it was.
It kind of got hyped up too much for me.
Well, I mean, we got really excited after the trailer, and, you know, he did what he could from a trailer.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a fun movie. I mean, it was...
But
it was also supposed to be a grindhouse movie.
It was. I liked it for what it was, but I was just... I don't know. You know, sometimes when you watch a movie, you're like, man, it's going to be so great. But I think they pushed, like, the whole immigration thing too much.
I think you're looking too far into it.
Yeah.
And they were just kind of taking a basis of old crappy movies and putting it into it, so... But that's not a horror movie, so we're not talking about it.
So, anyway, Grindhouse is number four.
Yeah.
So here we are, the top three. We're breaking the top three right now.
And,
Top three.
Number three. Number three, American Psycho, which is one of my favorite movies of all time.
That is a really good movie. I like that. I like how that kind of put what's the actor's name? Christian Bale. Kind of after American Psycho, Christian Bale kind of really
took he hasn't done anything I haven't liked.
You know he was in Newsies?
Yeah,
that Disney movie.
Yes.
I didn't fucking know that until like later on. I was like, a fucking psychopath.
You know, hates that movie too. I've read an article about that. He just does not even like to talk about that movie. But
my wife is a big fan of Bret Easton Ellis. And
I have not read the book, but I've heard it is just fucked up beyond belief.
It is very fucked up. Bret Easton Ellis wrote American Psycho. He did Like I said, I'm drunk, sponsored by High Life. I think the book's called Last Zero or something like that. It was redone.
Less than zero.
Less than zero. It was redone with Robert Downey Jr., and that was a really good movie. But
was it Robert Downey Jr. or Rob Lowe?
Robert Downey Jr.
Was it? I don't know. It came out in the Brat Pack era.
Who was the guy that was in, what's his name? Weekend at Bernie's. The two main characters.
Andrew McCarthy and Jonathan Silverman.
But who's the short, blonde-haired guy?
Andrew McCarthy.
Andrew McCarthy is less than zero.
We're talking about this. American Psycho, this guy's descent into madness was just... Watching this was amazing. And plus, intertwined with a little bit of humor when he's talking about, like, Huey Lewis while he's getting ready to kill a guy.
Every time I thought about Huey Lewis when Honda comes on the radio, I think I have a raincoat on with an axe and I'm walking behind him.
The movie, it's just outstanding. It's one of my favorites. Of course, I have a problem when he... kills the dog.
We are big animal fans here in this podcast. Any type of animal violence is very much looked down.
I'm getting better with it, but yeah, I didn't like that scene.
I look at my cats and I get pissed off. But at the very end of that movie, it's still like, so was he really mad? Did he do all this, or was it just all in his head the whole time?
You're left to wonder. I think that firmly belongs at number three.
I think that's one of his best performances, Christian Bale. Oh, yeah. Patrick Bateman.
But he, I mean, all of his movies have been outstanding. Did you ever see The Machinist?
Yeah.
Great movie.
How the fuck did he lose,
he,
like, 80
he
pounds?
Almost died, I think. Like, all he did was drink water for a month or some shit like that.
Somebody said that he drank Jack Daniels and he ate oatmeal.
Yeah, I think
and that's all
yeah,
he
that
did.
Sounds about right.
It's fucking sick.
Yeah. Number two, The Descent. Now, as much as I love this movie, I don't know that I would put it at number two. I'd probably move Inside to this up here. For me.
I would. But The Descent would be in my... It'd be in my top 10 for sure.
Definitely. The Descent kind of shocked me when I watched it. I didn't expect much from it. And I think it was you that said something like it was like the modern day Alien. It takes place, you know, in caves or whatever. So in caves, no one can hear you scream. But it was a really, really
cool
idea.
This is another movie that Karen and I actually saw. Karen and I have been very lucky. We've seen a lot of really cool and great films in theaters, and The Descent is one of them. And we saw it over here at AMC Castleton. Not the one up here up Northside. Well, it was on Northside. Man, I'm drunk. There was another one on Northside that got shut down. But if you're in Indiana listening to this or Indianapolis on Northside...
Shut up, talk about the movie.
Anyways, The Descent was very, very cool. It's very much like Chad said, A Descent into Madness, where it starts off. But this goes back to what I said, where your environment or the background itself, the atmosphere is a character. When the movie starts off, it's broad daylight, it's nice, you're in the woods, and slowly you get into this cave which still has light in it. Slowly but surely, it gets dark, it gets thinned out, and it gets to where you can't move anymore. It's very claustrophobic, and it turns into a whole other creature in itself, and it very much draws you into the movie.
Yeah. Like I said, it shocked me. I didn't expect much from it, and I really, really enjoyed it. I don't think it gets the credit that it deserves.
I think it's very much overlooked.
Yeah, definitely. Even the sequel, I thought was pretty good.
I like the sequel.
Yeah, I like how it kind of basically picked up right away.
Yes.
The first one left off. But, yeah, check that one out, definitely. And on to the number one movie, horror movie, of the last decade.
All right, so drum roll, I guess.
Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead. We clap for Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, definitely. Interesting pick. I gotta hand it to Horror Hound. Some may not consider it a horror movie, but
it's very much an homage to horror films.
Oh, man. I mean,
zombie films to Romero.
Movie, not only is it like one of the funniest movies I've seen, it's...
But it hits the nail on the head.
It does. It's
what Spinal Tap is to metal. It's pretty much what it is. Spinal Tap is metal, but Shaun of the Dead is horror.
I can't even explain it.
It was made by horror fans for horror fans.
Yeah.
But aside from that, it's a standalone movie that anybody can get.
It wasn't just a parody. It was, if you took the comedy out of it, it would still be a good zombie flick.
Yeah.
The effects were great.
And they were all practical effects. There wasn't any CGI in that.
Yeah, which you gotta respect.
But Simon Pegg and... what's that other guy's name?
Nick Frost.
I mean, that put them on the map. If you haven't watched Spaced beforehand, which was a BBC television show, that was really good. But Shaun of the Dead really much put them out there for everybody.
Edgar Wright has done some great things for the genre. I guess not only for the genre. Hot Fuzz was...
Yeah.
Pretty good movie. Hilarious and also kind of a good mystery, killer mystery suspense movie.
Yeah, I didn't like Run Fat Boy Run?
Well, that was David Schwimmer from Ross from Friends directed that movie.
Anyways, forget what I was talking about. I really like Shaun of the Dead as their number one pick. It wouldn't be my number one pick, but I really like it as their number one pick.
Yeah, I... Definitely.
A lot of people get into this movie.
Okay, you're talking about the last 20 years, so what, since 1990? 90-ish. I mean, you'd have to put Scream in here somewhere, wouldn't you?
You would have to.
I think Scream, I mean, okay.
Okay, well, I guess for another podcast, we'll have to do we'll have to break it down to my top 10 and Chad's top 10.
I guess
if they look at Shaun of the Dead as their number one pick of the past 10 years... as just, like, how influential it's been, mainly just because of their homage to past films, just because how much they've tied everything together.
No, I'm not disagreeing with Shaun of the Dead's placement here. I'm just saying that, like, I don't think we'd be where we are with the horror genre without Scream. I mean,
Wes Craven brought it
like
back.
I've told you before that the sequels kind of ruined it for people. So yeah. When people think Scream, they think, oh, that's shit. But the first movie brought horror back. I mean, it was dead.
But I liked how Wes Craven brought new rules into Scream. He was like, it's a new...
It was very, like, meta. Meta horror.
Like you said, 80 slashes got burnt out. Everybody knew the whole thing.
So it was almost kind of...
He had to redo the whole thing.
He was kind of...
It was his play on that.
Yeah, but there's also the fact that you can't really do a whole lot with the slasher thing without it being rehashed. So he brought in kind of it, I don't want to say making fun of itself.
Yeah.
But making fun of itself. Like, it brought in, it recognized what it was. It didn't take itself seriously.
It made fun of what it was, but it brought in new material and new ideas for it to build upon.
And it definitely brought the horror genre back in the 90s.
It did. So, but it also, in a way, re-brought back the slasher.
Mm-hmm. Well, I, like I said, I just don't think we'd be where we are at in horror without it, because, like I said, it was dead. And,
maybe we should have probably read some of this and picked some of the stuff out.
I don't want to read. I'm making up my own stuff.
I'm trying to get Chad back into books, but it's not happening.
Hey, I read The Walking Dead.
You did? Thanks to me. Well, it took you a while.
I just don't read too often.
For the longest time, I'm like, man, Chad, you need to read this book. This is awesome. I don't fucking read, James.
I read... Well, I borrowed volumes.
No, tell them the last book that you read before The Walking Dead. Eric Bischoff.
Yeah, I read the Eric Bischoff Controversy Creates Cash.
The last book. Chad Buttram read.
Before that, Ted Nugent, God, Guns, and Rock and Roll. And before that, Green Eggs and Ham.
There you go.
Dr. Seuss.
So that is that you have just had the rundown of Chad's literary experience.
You let me borrow book one and two, and I read those. And then...
And I let you borrow three and four.
Yes, you finally got three and four, and I borrowed those. And then I got so hooked that I had to go on to BitTorrent and download books.
Yes, on the BitTorrent.
5, 6, and read those. I read 4 books in a matter of 2 days.
And it was ridiculous for somebody that doesn't read. I'm getting texts from Cheddar. Have you read this? You know what happens to fucking Carl? This is ridiculous. Chad, don't tell me shit.
Yeah, so, I mean, and this is a good transition. We can start, going from zombie to zombie. Here, Walking Dead is
I'll tell you, when you
outstanding.
First, when you first watched the show, not reading the books, what did you think of the show?
Oh, I loved the show just because it was a, it was for me. Like, it was a TV show about zombies.
But do you think it was just built towards, like, a Romero fan? Like, what would you
No, do? No, absolutely not. I think, because I know people who don't like zombies, and they really got into it. My mom likes the show. I mean, my mom's kind of weird. She does, like, horror movies, but...
Well, it's funny you say that, because I work at a pharmacy, and everybody's like, have you seen The Walking Dead? I was like, are you serious? You don't watch or read any of the type of shit that I do, but you still, like, bring this up.
But... Like you said, I mean, it's a great show, and like you said, after reading the comic and watching the show, kind of brings a whole new element to it.
It does. The book and the show, they're the same thing, but they're both their own creature.
Oh, yeah, well, they can't do exactly what the comic is in the show, otherwise everybody knows what's going to happen, but, I mean, I tell you what, when I was reading those, I
sucked you in.
Oh, I couldn't wait to turn the page, and where they're at now... With it, maybe we'll go into more detail on a later
podcast. How do you feel about Frank Darabont as being the director?
Oh, he's great. I mean, he's done such a good job lately.
But beforehand, when I heard Frank Darabont was the director for Walking Dead, I was like, man, what the fuck has he done? How is he going to do it more?
I looked it up, and now I can't remember what.
He had Shawshank Redemption. He did The Green Mile.
He's done a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff with prisons, ironically. But I didn't know how it would work out, and then I heard...
inside joke there, if you haven't read it.
Yeah. But then I heard Cambia FX was jumping on, and I was like, this is going to be like awesome. Tarot. Yeah, it's going to be all practical effects.
Yeah, that definitely set it up when I heard Nick Tarot was doing it, in which the effects are great. But it's so cool seeing on the pages where the show came from, seeing what happened. And if... I don't know... Hopefully the season... Or the show keeps getting picked up, because it'll take them...
It has to, but I like
it'll take them 12 years to get to where they're at now.
That's ridiculous.
But it'll be interesting to see what kind of liberties they take with it and
but
what
I like
different
how,
directions they go.
I really think they picked the best channel with AMC. With all the programming AMC has, they take
AMC's
a lot of...
AMC's really trying to get into, obviously trying to get more ratings, but they got, you know, Mad Men going on, which is big. Don't they have
Breaking Bad?
Breaking Bad, I've heard, is good.
They just started The Killing, which is kind of like Twin Peaks.
Yeah, I saw the commercial.
But they're taking, like, a lot of liberties with their show. They're really pushing the boundaries with what's on TV.
I mean, if you're...
And they didn't really cut... They didn't cut anything out of the first series. When they showed AMC the first pilot, where she's...
The first pilot's dead on.
Yeah. Where Andrew Lincoln, who's playing Rip Grimes, shoots a little girl in the head, and Frank Darabont was like, they're totally going to cut this out. AMC was like...
Oh, I was shocked when I saw it.
We're keeping it in. That totally sets up the tone for the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's, honestly, I can't believe it actually getting the ratings that it did.
But that just shows how many people in the horror community can push something forward.
Well, that's true, and I wish they would listen to horror fans more often, because I'm tired of these big-time movie studios, these suits sitting up in their executive offices telling us what we want to see and spitting out shit that comes out to the theaters every weekend.
Yeah. Daybreakers.
Which I have not watched.
The premise for being a good movie, but
it looked interesting when I first saw the trailer.
Anyway, I get off track a lot of times. So go back to The Walking Dead.
There's not a whole lot more to say without getting into too much detail.
Well, the first series was only 6 episodes.
Yeah.
And then the second series will be 12 episodes that comes out this
year.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see where they take it. We might just have to save this for another podcast so we don't get into too much detail and start giving spoilers.
But I think The Walking Dead is the best thing for horror television in a long time.
Yeah. So if you're a fan of the show, check out the comic. If you're a fan of the comic, then you know what's up.
This is coming from somebody who doesn't read a whole lot. Chad Buttram is telling you to fucking read the comic. There you go. What is she up to now?
Gosh, I just read... 84.
I haven't read the last one, Chad.
Issue 84 was just released earlier this week. That's pretty good,
I think. Hey, what do you think about Andrew Lincoln being a Brit and doing, like, the whole John Wayne...
Well, I don't know about you, but I don't have anything against Brits.
I don't think it's Brits. America.
He does a good job.
America.
It'll be interesting later on to see how he... You know, because the character in the comics, Rick Grimes...
big transformation.
He goes through a lot of shit and goes through a lot of transformations, like you said, and it'd be interesting to see how he goes through that on the screen. There's just so much crap that happens in the book that I just don't know how they're gonna do it on TV. It's gonna be really cool to see it translated to screen.
But if the second season is anything like the first season, I welcome another 6 episodes. 12 episodes is gonna be awesome.
Yeah, I cannot wait. Supposed to start airing this Halloween, right?
Yeah. And for people who haven't read the comic, Chad for the longest time was like, what the fuck did, what was the doctor's name? At the end of the first season.
Oh, Jensen.
Dr. Jensen's like, what the fuck did Dr. Jensen whisper in his ear? And then Chad read the books and he's like,
yeah, but you know what?
Like, oh.
I've been reading that's not what it's going to be. Darabont has said that it's going to be shocking.
But I kind of like that. I kind of like that Frank Darabont pushed it in a different direction. So when I was watching the show, and then the last two episodes, and they went to the Center for Disease Control, I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I had no idea. You know, I know it's a huge fan of the books. But I like that little twist and turn that they had.
Yeah, they got to do that so that it keeps even fans of the books interested in what's going on, so that you don't know everything that's going to happen. But, all right, we're starting to run out of time here a little bit, so...
So that's it. That was Whorehound's top 20 of the past decade.
Yeah, from November and December of 2009.
Yeah. I think we need to start going to a better magazine and start going to Rue Morgue for fucking information. This is just a magazine I had here.
Yeah. What else you want to talk about? We could give our recommendations for Netflix.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a new segment on our podcast. I think it's going to be the end of every podcast. Chad and I are going to have our top picks of horror films that are on Netflix. If you don't have Netflix, it's the best $10 a month you can get. And I have my top 2 picks for my Netflix movies.
Check out this month.
Well, I'll tell you what. My top 2 picks...
Well, you do one, I'll do one, and you do one, and I'll do one.
My number one pick is they actually have The Twilight Zone almost in its entire season. They have seasons 1, 2, 3, and for some reason they skipped 4, and they have 5. But aside from The Walking Dead, I would say The Twilight Zone is the greatest horror series out there. I mean, Rod Sterling, he's the man. Yeah, he's right up there with Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the classic stuff that got it all started, so it's good.
So that's my number one pick. What is yours?
I'm going to have to say my first pick is, we talked about it earlier, The Descent is streaming right now.
Descent 1 or 2?
Descent 1 was streaming, so I don't know if it still is, but Descent 2 definitely is streaming right now.
Yeah. But Descent 2 was a really good sequel.
It was, so if you check it out, if you haven't seen the first one yet, watch it, and then watch the second one.
So right now you have The Twilight Zone to watch on Netflix, and you also have The Descent 2. My third pick would be a movie called...
Your second pick.
My second pick. My second pick would be a movie called Dead End. It's very much set up like a Twilight Zone episode, but the ending will really get you at the end. It'll really drag you into it, and I really thank you all.
Well, I haven't even seen that, so I'll have to check that out.
That's awesome. I'll let you borrow the DVD.
Oh, you have the DVD?
Yeah.
So why are you watching it on Netflix?
Because it's on Netflix!
My next pick would be, I recently watched The Burning.
There you
go. Which is a...
classic 80s
slasher. Classic 80s slasher. Nothing new in it. It's the typical.
It's got great effects from revenge. Savini.
Yeah, Savini did the.
Jason thing. Alexander's in that movie.
Very young.
Ends up getting killed.
Full head of hair. Jason Alexander. But it's nothing new. It's just an 80s revenge slasher movie.
It takes place at a camp.
At a camp, yeah. So, but
it's got some decent kills.
Got some good kills. Decent. Story that doesn't bore you, but it's pretty good.
Solid effects.
Yeah.
So right on Netflix picks again. My number one is the Twilight Zone series, and number two is Dead End.
And Descent 2 and... Gosh, I already forgot. Burning.
The Burning.
Yeah. All four.
So that is our Netflix
picks. All four good picks for Watch Instantly this month.
I think Chad and I have another 12 high lives to finish here. So until next time.
Until next time, which who knows when that would be.
Yeah.
And if you actually do listen to this, send in some ideas for the naming of this podcast.
There you go.
We got nothing.
So until next time.
All right, see ya.